Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day to you.
If I were to ask you to tell me what happens when you come to the Zendo on Sunday, I imagine that I would hear something like this. You would say, "Well, Carl, first I take off my shoes and I place them in the shoe rack. And while doing so, I may observe who else is here. Next, I walk to the entrance of the Zendo and bow and find a seat. And while taking my seat, I may set my cushion in a way that will allow me to be comfortable while sitting. Next, I'll take up the sitting position itself and start my sitting practice, which could be my koan, my breath, my counting." Might go on to say that at 9, Jeff rings the bell, and I put my hands together in gassho. I bow and I stand, and then I bow three more times. After Carl lights the incense, I do 3 more bows. Then I take my seat again. Following this, Jeff will ring the gong 3 times, followed by a gats, and then I will chant the gatha of repentance. I imagine you would continue to say, "And I can hear myself sitting there chanting, 'All the evil karma ever created by me of old, on account of my beginningless hatred, on account of my beginningless greed, hatred, and ignorance, born of my conduct, speech, and thought, I repent of it now.'" Then Jeff rings the gong 3 times to announce the start of the meditation period. And finally, 25 minutes later, the gong is rung twice to announce the end of the sitting and the beginning of walking meditation. So, if you think about that for a minute, that would be a general description of what happens, what your experience is through the first period. So I have a question. What is your reference point for that experience? What is your reference point? I would bet that if you look carefully, you will notice that you are the reference point for all this activity. I place my shoes. I bow at the threshold of the Zendo. I hear the bell ring. I notice who is here and who is not, and so forth. And when we start sitting, everything is I-based. I'm sitting well today. I notice a pain in my knee. I feel peaceful. And so forth. Throughout our lives, even when we are not sitting, there is a running commentary occurring in our mind in which I is the reference point. Me. This reference point is what we call in Zen the self. And it's so familiar, so commonsensical, that we rarely even notice it occurring. Yeah, I bought the recent Buddhadharma magazine, and I just happened to be reading simultaneously to thinking about this talk. This is a description by Gregory Shepherd, who wrote this article. It's called "A Straight Road with Many Curves." I'm going to read a little segment of it. "As I sat in full lotus alone at the San-un Zendo late one afternoon, a tiny particle of my psyche promised the rest of me that it would always remember the date, January 8, 1973. The brain-penetrating aroma of a kerosene space heater, along with incense from the altar urn, gave a sweet scent to the winter air, making mere breathing a pleasure. But since I was in deeper samadhi than I had ever been, I only needed about 2 or 3 breaths per minute. Diminishing slants of winter sunlight tinted the Zendo a mute red, and the windless day lay absolutely still, just like my consciousness. with the only sound being the faint barking of a dog in the far distance. The same tiny, almost completely hushed part of my psyche that noted all of this then percolated a bubbling thought that whispered, "I need nothing." He goes on to say, Yamada Roshi had recently used similar words during one of his teishos. "This is all I need," he had said, while slapping his thighs in emphasis to indicate total spiritual self-sufficiency. For the first time in my life, I felt utterly untroubled contentment, without even the usual houseflies of random thoughts buzzing in my mind's ear. What I didn't realize until much later, however, was that Yamada Roshi's statement and the bubble of thought that crossed my mind were about quite different things. Mine was about the narcotic-like effect that deep samadhi had on my spirit, an effect that lasted only a little while after Zazen before fading away. Yamada Roshi's statement was about realizing one's true nature, which I still didn't understand to any real depth. Well, if you listen to this carefully, even though Gregory Shepherd is sitting in deep samadhi, aware that he's only breathing 2 breaths per minute, this is still about me. This is about I. He's still the center of the experience. I went yesterday to New York City to a class related to private practice. It was about EMDR, which is a form of trauma treatment, and mindfulness. And the presenter brought up, in talking about meditation or answering a question about meditation, brought up the days of, back in the 60s, of Timothy Leary and Baba Ramdas, who were both famous brilliant Harvard professors. Timothy Leary, of course, was known for all his experimentation in LSD. And Ramdas went to India and became a culturally significant transporter of the Dharma. But if you read Ramdas's books and have ever heard Ramdas speak, the heart of every story that Ramdas ever told was Ramdas. Zen practice offers us the possibility of a different experience. When the mind becomes completely still and there is just this, it's like one of my favorite haikus, which I've repeated frequently over the years. It's a Basho haiku, which is, "Old pond, frog jumps in, splash." And there's a moment when the splash occurs, when there, to me anyway, there is no observer. There is no one having this experience. There is just splash. What Zen practice requires of us is that whenever you hear this inner voice, this reference, this I is there, is to forget it over and over and over again. Forget that you are the center of all the stories that you tell. It should be like taking your sweetheart into your arms while dancing. That moment when there is no lover and no beloved, there is just this, just dancing. But not even the name dancing is present. That experience of just dancing, just this, without being part of the story, is what we name in Zen no self. And when there is no self, everything becomes one. So what is this practice about? When you sit with breath, there should just be breath. But we even drop the name breath. as soon as I think I am breathing, I am back in the realm of duality. The same is true if you are working with a koan. In the koan mu, for example, a monk asks Jyoshu, "Does a dog have Buddha nature?" Well, we all know that the Buddha taught that everything has Buddha nature, without exception. Yet Zen Master Jyoshu did not respond by saying yes. Nor did he respond by saying no. Instead, without hesitation, he replied, "Mu." This answer points away from a self-based interpretation and requires the student to become selfless, to respond morning and night with just Mu. The student must put every reference point aside, and then put Mu aside. Christians say to be full of Christ, you must empty yourself. I guess as Zen folks, we might say, to be filled with the universe, we must empty ourselves. But now we have come full circle. Again, our reference point is the self. So maybe it would be better to just, if you have to speak, to just say, empty. Thank you.